Zephaniah 3, 9 to 20, the God who sings over you. Have you ever heard of a God who sings over his people? That's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, he will rejoice over you with singing. It's the only scripture in the Bible, as far as I know, that says God sings over his people. What a provocative, what a wonderful, what an emotive image that is. And as I've pondered this over and over in preparation for this morning, I do think of that mum sort of singing over that child, over that baby, probably to get it to sleep. But then it reminded me of one of the oddest and yet most memorable experiences that I've ever had. It was with an older lady who stayed in the cul-de-sac where we live in Curnow Place, and I'll just show you the picture. Just outside the complex on the left, there's a grass patch, and it was very, very weedy. And this older lady would be there day after day, picking out the weeds, and I walk that pathway to the church because it's a through fare. And one day I was walking back home, coming along the pathway, and this lady was picking out the weeds when suddenly she saw me. She sort of bolted upright, and she looked at me, and she said to me, "Can I sing over you?" I was taken a little aback. I looked around to see if there was anybody else. It was a little embarrassing. But I chose to relax, and I said to her, "Sure, would you sing over me?" Now, I forget exactly what she sung, but I do remember that it was an old Christian hymn of God's love. And she stood there singing God's love over me. I still get goosebumps when I think of it. And when she finished the song, she went back to the weeding. I don't know if she died. I don't know if she went to a care home. I can tell you there's no weeds in that garden. They've never come back. I often remember the lady who sang God's love over me. Only a Christian would do that. I do hope to meet her in glory one day when we will stand shoulder to shoulder and sing of God's love for us. Zephaniah 3, 9 to 20 is really about the God who sings his love. He sings his promises of love over his people. And I started thinking about this, and I wondered what sort of voice God has got. I wonder if it's bass, or I wonder if it's baritone. I wonder whether it's tenor. But I do know that the lyrics of his song are wonderful. We might say that for 2.5 chapters in the book of Zephaniah, that it really has been a sound of judgment, both to Israel and to the world. And this sound of judgment goes back to chapter 1, verse 18, "And the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth." Or pick up the sound of judgment, even in chapter 3 and verse 8, "Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for that day I will stand up and testify. I've decided to assemble all the nations, to gather the kingdoms. I'll pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole earth will be consumed in the fire of my jealous anger." But as we've noticed, I hope that in the sound of judgment, there is always the ring of hope. And that ring of hope, or that melody of hope, is in chapter 2, verse 3. "In the sound of judgment, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." If I could ever give you one line from God's beautiful song of salvation, if I could put it together, one line from God's beautiful song of salvation, I'd put it to you like this: the righteousness of Jesus will shelter you from the coming wrath. That's the song. The righteousness of Jesus will shelter you from the coming wrath. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In other words, in the gospel, in the life, in the death, in the resurrection of Jesus, there is a way to be righteous. There's a way to be sheltered from God's wrath. There's a way to survive, not by claiming a righteousness of our own, but the righteousness that comes to us by Jesus through faith. In fact, Paul pushes this further in Philippians 3:9 when he says, and being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. When you put your faith in Jesus, in the gospel, the righteousness of Christ is credited to you that you are sheltered from the wrath of God forever. That's the song. And if I could give you a picture, no picture is perfect and it's always flawed. But maybe this picture, I'm going to show it to you a couple of times through the message, maybe this will capture something of what I'm talking about. Here's how Peter puts it in 1 Peter. He says, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that cannot spoil, perish, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, and here it comes, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that will be revealed in the last day. Do you see it? What's happening in Zephaniah as we now shift from Zephaniah 3:8 to the end of the prophecy, it's like the whole tone of God's voice changes. It's now God singing promise after promise after promise over those who would take refuge in the righteousness of Christ. So those who would come under the shadows of Christ, those who would be covered by the feathers of Christ's righteousness. The Father sings promise after promise after promise. Here's some of the singing that goes on. Just give you a little taste of what's coming. God sings over his people, I will purify the lips of the peoples. I will take away your punishment, verse 15. I'll rescue the lame and gather those who've been scattered, verse 20. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. Now, I'm going to unpack some of that for you, but here is the key, and this is crucial. These promises, these songs, these songs of promise over Israel, they are not fulfilled in some sort of future Israel. They are fulfilled in the salvation that God gives his people in Christ. In other words, if you are sheltered from the coming wrath in the righteousness of Christ, these promises are all yours now. And they will be yours forever in consummation one day at the end of time. These promises to Israel are yours in Christ today. If you're in Christ, God is singing over you right now these promises, and you're about to see something that's going to blow you away. You're going to get blown away by God's voice. So here we go. Number one. Here's the first song of promise. To those who are in Christ, to those who are righteous, to those who are sheltered, here's the first song of promise. And it comes to us in verse 9. God promises, it's a song of a new heart. Look at verse 9. Then I will purify the peoples, I'll purify the lips of the peoples that all of them may call on the name of the Lord. Here's what God says, to those that would come and take shelter in Christ and receive his righteousness, I will purify your lips so that you may worship me. You have to understand that the problem of the Jewish heart is the same as the problem of the Gentile heart, is the same as the problem of every human heart. No idolatrous heart can ever worship God the way he is due to be worshipped. And nothing in the old covenant could ever change it. Nothing. No prophets, no laws, no nothing could ever give anybody a new heart to worship God the way he is due. So what does God promise? He promises a new heart that you can worship me. That's exactly what Jeremiah said. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I'll put my law in their minds. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So when you look at that purified lips in Zephaniah 3 verse 9, it's a purified heart because the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you get a new heart. You get a new nature by the Holy Spirit coming to live in you. That's what it means to be born again. Do you remember what God said to Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3? In order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be what? You must be born again. You have to have a new heart to worship me. You remember Jesus with the woman at the well? The kind of worshipers that God wants in spirit and in truth that can only happen by a new heart. It's very common to hear Christians say, and rightly so, that God loves you just the way you are. And that's true. God loves us while you are a sinner. God loves you while you are an enemy. But God's love does not keep you where you were. God's love changes you. He gives you a new heart to worship him. Same promise, different words. Deuteronomy in the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Christian, here's the song of salvation that God sings over you. If you're in Christ, you have his righteousness. I've given you a new heart to worship me. Because my glory is your good. My glory is your good. That's just the start. Here's the second song of promise. To put it this way, here's the song of promise. It's just not a new heart, but it gives you a new community. A new community. So look at verse 9, going into verse 10. I'll purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, and serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cush, that's Upper Nile, my worshippers, my scattered people, will bring me offerings. Now listen, this promise of God's people standing shoulder to shoulder, bringing offerings to God, is fulfilled where? In the church. In God's people gathered today. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. For he himself is our peace, who's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. You see it? Shoulder to shoulder is righteous Jew, righteous Gentile, shoulder to shoulder in the church, in the community. If you want it sitting shoulder, that's what you're doing this morning, aren't you? Well, most of you are sitting shoulder to shoulder. There's a few gaps. And what are we doing as we come shoulder to shoulder? We're giving God praise and honor and sacrifices of thanksgiving. And here's how Hebrews puts it. Look at it. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of what? Of praise, shoulder to shoulder, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Please understand, the church is not a replacement of Israel. The church is the fulfillment of remnant Israel. Save Jews, save Gentiles, shoulder to shoulder, singing to Jesus, one voice, with one voice, one heart. Salvation belongs to our God and to our Lamb who sings from the throne. That's why, just again, that's you've got to understand, that's why there is no such thing as lone Christianity in the Bible. There's no such thing as some sort of isolated Christian. We are shoulder to shoulder. Think about it this way. What do you think we're going to be doing for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth when we're in our new resurrected bodies? What do you think we're going to be doing? shoulder to shoulder, singing to God of his glory. Or perhaps we might put it this way. We're going to be shoulder to shoulder in the new heavens and the new earth, and God himself will sing over us for all eternity. Oh, what a picture. So the promise of salvation for those in Christ is not just a new heart, not just a new community, but number three, there is a new obedience. Got the text. Have a look. It's coming up on the screen. Have a look at verse 11. Never again will you be haughty, proud on my holy hill. They will do no wrong. They will tell no lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. It's not talking about perfection. But righteousness in Jesus brings a new heart, a new community, and a new obedience to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, if you love me from your heart, you will obey me from the heart. Here's how Peter puts it. Here's how Peter, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy as I am holy. Here's what you've got to understand. As unsaved sinners, we were disobedient by nature, hostile to God. As saved saints, as saved hagios, as saved holy ones, we are by nature obedient to God. That's how John puts it. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. That's what the new heart produces. Give you a new heart and a new community and a new obedience that will come from that heart. Just warming up. Number four, the next song of salvation, or the next promise of salvation sung over God's people, is a new confidence. A new confidence. Zephaniah chapter 3 from verse 15, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He's turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say, Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. In the Psalms, we are told that it's characteristic of non-Christians that there is no fear of God before their eyes. It's also been said of the church that in some ways the church has lost the fear of God. But for those who have taken refuge in the shelter of Christ, for those who have come under his righteous wings, there never need be any fear in you, because Christ has willingly taken the punishment of the Father for you at the cross. And we never need fear the punishment of God, even though we continue to sin, because those sins are what? They're covered in Christ. As the psalmist says in 103 verse 12, our sins are as have been removed in Christ as far as east is from west. Have a look at Isaiah 38. Our sins, as it were, in Christ have been put behind God's back. You can't see them anymore. They're gone. Oh, how about this one? That in Christ, look at this, repent then, turn to God so that your sins may be what? Wiped out. Absolutely wiped out. Isn't that extraordinary? In Christ, your sins are as far from God as east from west. Your sins are behind his back. Your sins are being wiped out, which is why Hebrews says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have what? Confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Christian, you always have confidence in the presence of God because your sins have been wiped out. And even when you sin, those sins have been wiped out. So when you sin, you don't run away from God, you run to him. You can always have confidence to run to him, go to him, because your sins have what? They've been taken care of. And then number five. So the promise, the song of promises, one of a new heart and your community and your obedience and your confidence. And he gives his people a new mission. So down to verse 19 and 20. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I'll give them praise and honor in every land where you have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I'll bring you home. I'll give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Now, in the immediate context, there's a promise that after the exile, after Babylon has exiled Judah, that the Israelites will go home. They'll be gathered back. That does happen to some extent, but that is not how these promises are fulfilled. The promise is not fulfilled in the Jewish exiles going home to Israel, but it's fulfilled in the new mission of the church. Listen, as the church goes to the exiles in the world with the song of salvation that Jesus has given. Let me show you how it turns. Acts. It's resurrection. Christ has been raised from the dead. It's in that period of 40 days before he goes back to the Father. The disciples gather around Jesus and they say, Lord, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You've got to hear the question. Whoops, wrong way. The question is, Lord, are you at this time going to gather the exiles? Are you going to take Israel home? Now, the way Jesus answers this question is profound and it changes everything. Look at it, verse 7. He says to them, it's not for you to know the dates or the times the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, the mission is not gathering Israel to Israel. The mission is that we gather by going to the world and gathering them into the church, that we might stand shoulder to shoulder, or sit shoulder to shoulder, giving praise to the Lamb who sings from his throne. So, what does this mean for us? Firstly, I want to ask you this question. This morning, is there a sound of judgment over you? Or is there a song of salvation over you? Is there a song of salvation over you? Or is there a sound judgment? Let me show you a verse. Pulls both of these together, both the sound and the song. See if you can see it. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's the song. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. That's the sound of judgment. I want to say to you this morning that if you are shielded by the righteousness of Christ and the Father sings over you as his child every day and says to you, I've given you a new heart, I've given you a new community, I've given you a new obedience, I've given you a new confidence, and I've given you a new mission to tell others about me. The flip side of this, of course, is that if you sit here and you are not sheltered by the righteousness of Christ, well then, you have an old heart, you live in a sinful community, you have no obedience, you have no confidence to approach God, and you have a worthless purpose in life. But how wonderful it can be for you, how amazing today that the sound of judgment can become for you the song of salvation. All you have to do is come and be sheltered by the righteousness of Christ by putting your faith in Him. That's all it takes. But let's go back to that lady in the pathway who sang God's love over me. You know, as I've reflected on that, she only ever did it once. And after that day that she sang, I never saw her again. Do you know that I need to hear God sing over me every single day? How do I do that? How do I get God to sing over me every day? How do I do it? Any guesses? Open his hymn book. Open the Bible. The Bible is God's love song, promises of love song over His people. Every time you open the Bible, it's like you're opening the Bible and God sings over you. I know we don't do this so much anymore. What do they call, you know, you go to the shop and you buy, we used to call them Hallmark cards. Is that the same thing here? Is it Aussie thing? Hallmark, whatever. Do you remember those cards? They were dreadfully expensive. You open the card and it started singing. Do you remember those cards? Like it had some sort of song embedded in the thing. And it went, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Alex, by the way. Alex at the back there. Happy birthday to you. Oh, and it was so annoying, wasn't it? I think. Every time you open the Bible, it's got His song in it. That He sings over you every single day. Have a look at this. Verse 17 again, He'll take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but it will rejoice over you with singing. You've got to turn this. You've got to turn this. This is how it's got to read, Christian. He has taken delight in you. In His love, He will never rebuke you. And He is rejoicing over you with singing. Has anyone ever said something like this to you? Hey, mate, you've changed your tune. You know that expression? Now, what that sort of statement normally comes when, like, you've been going in this direction, saying this, doing this, you suddenly start talking or doing things in a different way, and someone says to you, hey, mate, you've changed your tune. You know, God never changes His tune with His people. He doesn't get laryngitis. He doesn't lose His voice. How about this for a line? Listen, how about this for a line from God's love song? There is now no condemnation for those who are in. Boy, you want a love line, that's one. That's the soppy nonsense we get out there today. Do you remember the song? Do you remember the love song that the Father sang over His Son at His baptism? Do you remember it? Remember the love song? And a voice came from heaven. A song came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Do you know that if you've put your faith in the one who was submerged in your sin at the cross, that's how the Father sings over you every single day. He says, you are my Son. You are my daughter. I love you. And with you, I am always pleased. Always. So let me finish with this. It was 1988. Wembley Stadium in London. 1988. Thousands of people had gathered in order to celebrate the changes that were coming in South Africa. South Africa was under apartheid, wicked regime. It was busy coming down. It would be 2 years later, 1990, that Nelson Mandela would walk out of prison after 27 years. 1988, Wembley, rock bands had all come together. But for some reason, unknown, the promoters of that event decided that the closing act would be an opera singer by the name of Jesse Norman. For 12 hours, bands like Guns N' Roses blasted through the speakers, riling up fans. They were high on booze and dope. And finally, the time came for Jesse Norman to sing. This majestic, majestic African-American woman, a diva, wearing an African dasiki, strolled onto stage. No band, no backup, no musical instruments. It was just Jesse. Watch the video. The crowd stirred. People were yelling, "Guns N' Roses, Guns N' Roses!" And everybody was starting to take up the chant. Things were getting restless. Things were getting quite dangerous. Alone, a cappella, Jesse Norman began to sing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. A remarkable thing started to happen at Wembley Stadium that night. Suddenly, 70,000 people started to be silent under the aura of grace. By the time that Jesse got to this line, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. It was almost like she had the crowd eating out of her hand. By the time she got to this, grace has brought me safe thus far and grace will lead me home. There were several thousand people at Wembley singing alongside her. And we've been there. 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Try to find out whether Jesse Norman was actually a Christian. I don't know. It's unclear. She certainly had a church background. She confessed in a documentary much later that she had no idea what descended on Wembley that night. She said, I don't know the power that descended that night. But we know, don't we? We know. See, the God who sings of His grace. People become quiet under the aura of His grace. The God who sings over you is the God to whom we sing. Music team, we're going to sing.